Glory to God. We thank you, Father. In you, we have no fear. In you, we have no dread. In you, we have hope. Hallelujah. We have peace. Hallelujah. We have healing in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Jesus. You are our healer. If you need healing in your body right now, just reach out. Receive from Jesus, our healer. Thank you, Lord, for those of you online. We speak the healing touch, the healing anointing over you. We thank you, according to Psalm 107:20, you send forth your word and it heals and delivers each and every one from any destruction, from any pain, from any cancer, from any malfunction in our body. In the name of Jesus, glory to God, we've been plunged to victory. And we see ourselves in that victory flow right now, from victory to victory to victory, all the way to our mansion in heaven. Glory to God. If you agree with that, say amen. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. It could be today. Amen. Well, you can greet somebody in the presence of the Lord. Welcome to those of you online, and we're glad to have you with us. Glory to God. It's a good day to be in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Victory Life Family Church. Well, praise God. If it's your first time, our website is vlfc.church. There you can find out more about us, submit your prayer requests, your testimony, access our past messages, video, audio, sermon. We mentioned healing a moment ago. If you're believing for healing manifested in your body, go back, feed on those healing messages. That word is alive. And it doesn't matter if it was preached 5 days ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, there's still an anointing on that. And you can just play it and receive it into your body. In the name of Jesus, we're on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, Instagram. Hallelujah. Subscribe, follow, like, and share. Also, Pastor Rodney's daily devotionals on our website every single day updated. It's also on Facebook. So the link is on Facebook. It takes you right to the website. Easy access for those of you that like to go through that way. Sundays, doors open at 9. Pre-service prayer from 9:20 to 9:40. What an awesome time we had today in pre-service prayer. We thank you all for coming and joining us. Service starts at 10. So come enjoy coffee and fellowship with time with one another. This week, there is no Friday prayer at our house. So no Friday prayer this week. Wednesday, we are going to have service at 6:30. Doors open at 6. This Wednesday, we're going to have a prayer service, a prayer meeting. And so I invite you to join us. I'll be leading that. We're going to be praying over the community, over our church family, over Holy Week coming up. We know this is a special and significant time for people that have been searching for the Lord, and we know God's doing a work. And so we want to pray over that. And so we're coming together this Wednesday. We invite you to come and join us. Also, volunteers, if you're interested in ushering, video production, children and youth ministry, or our worship team. Praise God. We had somebody trying out the guitar this morning and you look good on it. So glory to God. We just have to continue with that. And so we're thanking the Lord for all of that. If you have a heart to lead a prayer team or a disciple class, let us know about that. God's equipped each and every one of us for the gifts and callings that he has in us. And so I want to encourage you to step out. You know, now's the time. And we love to work with you. Please, let's see, just looking over this. So next week, starting next Sunday, is Holy Week. And it starts with Palm Sunday. And then Wednesday, that following Wednesday, we're going to minister on what happened at Calvary. And then the following is Resurrection Sunday. So we're going to be having these special services at our normal times. And we want to encourage you to bring someone to church with you. This is a time where people are really open to come into church. If they haven't been open before, God's been working on them. We've talked about before, Pastor Rodney and I have been out in public. We've run into people and they said, We've been thinking about coming to your church. We see the ads. We've seen you on Facebook and they met us, you know, and actually one couple in particular, we still haven't seen them, but they've been thinking about it for a long time. So they just continue to need to get that nudge and just that extra oomph to come. But, you know, God's faithful. And miracles are also the calling card, and those things are happening. Amen. And so this is not just a random invite. I want to encourage you, get the business cards over there, the church cards. They're over here on this table. Hand it to somebody. Be intentional. If you need to pick them up, pick them up. But this is the time. We're also advertising in Keith County News and on social media. And so it's going to be going out over the next several weeks, actually. Actually, even after Holy Week. So who's ready for the chair update? Woo! We're ready for the chair update. So originally, we had picked out 42 nice, comfortable chairs, similar to the one there in the middle front row. And so they're $87 a piece at $3,654 was the total. Well, are you ready for this? Paid in full. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for each and everyone who has sown. Thank you to those online. Glory to God. Some people haven't even been here, but they have sown. And another part of that testimony, this is so awesome. On Wednesday night after service, we had 4.5 chairs left. Oh. 4.5 chairs left. The next day on Thursday, a check arrived in the mail that covered all of those chairs. Hallelujah. God is so good. So with that, on Tuesday morning, Pastor Rodney's headed to Texas to go pick these chairs up. So they will be here in time for Palm Sunday, Holy Week, and all of that. So get ready to be in your comfortable chairs. Amen. It's about time. But we want to thank you for being a part of the Faith Project in this. Pastor Rodney made this note here that we have a new sign out front. If you all noticed that when you drove in. And so that's going to be up here above the door. It's going to come and be put up over here. We're going to get another sign for over there. And that's, and there's a sign for the window coming this afternoon. And so that's going to be in the window. So we're believing for that other sign for actually that's going to be out there. We're believing for better lighting in the room and a keyboard for our praise and worship team. We're also thanking God for this place here, but we're believing for a building and property of our own with lots of room for growth, youth and children's rooms, fellowship hall, young adults, prayer meeting. So we want to keep these before us. So we're going to continue releasing our faith in increments for these things in our next phase. We have here, we're believing for $5,000 to come in by the end of May. So we'll have some more updates with that as well. And so don't relax your faith on any of this. We're going to keep going, keep pressing, and we're going to see the manifestation of all these things because we're going to be prepared when the people come. Amen. So if you're given this morning, there is an option for building fund. Whether it's you write it in on the offering envelope and online, there's a drop down general fund or building fund. If you're given by a cash or credit card, please fill out your information, your name, and your address. And that's also, by cash. If you're given by check, please make it payable to VLFC. And if you're watching online, your information's on the screen. Praise God. And so, our offering scripture this morning is out of Isaiah 54, verses 2 through 3. This is out of the Passion Translation. So if you're not carrying the Passion Translation, I'll just read it here. Isaiah 54, verse 2 through 3. Get ready. Increase is coming. How many of you are believing for increase? Yeah. Amen. In your life, in the lives of your children, your home, our church. It says, increase is coming. Yes. So enlarge your tent. Add extensions to your dwelling. Hold nothing back. Make the tent ropes longer and the pegs stronger. Glory to God. You will increase and spread out in every direction. And we speak that over each and every one of us, over Victory Life Family Church, that we are increasing and spreading out in every direction. It says after that, your sons and your daughters will conquer nations and revitalize desolate cities. And so we declare that uplifting, that awakening over Ogallala. Psalm 115:14 says, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Amen. We receive that. So this morning, as we're getting ready to give, let's say our offering confessions. Praise God. I have them here somewhere. The blessing is working in us, on us, and for us. The Lord is increasing us more and more, us and our children. Seed, we speak to you. Produce a mighty harvest. We are getting our buildings, our lands, and all our resources. We call every bill paid, every need met. We are furnished in abundance. Angels, go get our harvest and bring it to us. In Jesus' name. And we declare double. Double, double, and double again. Woo! Hallelujah. You may receive the offering this morning.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, welcome to church. It's good to be in the house of the Lord here together and see all your beautiful faces. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we give you thanks for this day. We declare the goodness of God. We declare the glory of the Lord over this place, over our service. And Holy Spirit, we invite you in to every part of us. And Lord, in this message today, however you want to proceed, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to say, I am and we are yours to command. And we yield ourselves to the voice of the Good Shepherd. We yield ourselves to the leading of Holy Spirit. And Father God, I thank you as this word is coming forth today, we receive boldness of utterance, freedom of utterance to declare it. And we receive the anointing is here in this place. And we receive that anointed word, Lord, over each person here, those of you watching, whatever you need, hook up in faith. And Holy Spirit is there to bring you the answer. Again, we've shared this many times. You know, you whatever we're sharing on today, Holy Spirit can unfold it to you in miraculous ways and give you answers and give you breakthroughs to situations that you've had long-standing questions to. There's answers here today. Amen. Praise God. If you agree with that, say amen. Hallelujah. We're going to be continuing in on this week on the subject of faith. We started here just recently and unpacking this passage in Mark chapter 11. And we're going to go ahead and open in this. This is verses 11 through 24. And we're going to continue on with where we left off. But in verse 11 says, then Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The next day, when he had left Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to see if there was any fruit on it. But when he reached it, he found nothing on it except leaves, since it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, may no one eat of your fruit again. And his disciples heard this statement. When they arrived in Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began to drive out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those selling doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. Then Jesus began to teach them and declared, is it not written? My house will be called a house of prayer for all the nations, but you have made it a den of robbers. When the chief priests and scribes heard this, They looked for a way to kill him. They were afraid of him because the whole crowd was astonished at his teaching. And when evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city, and they walked back in the morning. So 24 hours later, after Jesus speaks to this fig tree, they saw the fig tree withered from its roots. Peter remembered it and said, "Look, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed has withered." Now, verse 22, "Have faith in God," Jesus said to them. "Truly, I tell you that if anyone says to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and has no doubt in his heart, but believes that it will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Amen. So I know we spent these last several services going over really verses 11 through 21. But today we're going to, I believe, finish up and really unpack verses 22 through 24. So today, looking at this whole passage, we're really looking at one of the clearest teachings that Jesus ever gave on how faith works. Amen. So again, there's always, and when we're talking about really scripture itself, but when you're talking about the subject of faith, there's always the legal side and there's always the living side. Faith will not operate just out of legalism. Faith doesn't just operate because, well, if I only say the good confession, I don't make the bad confession. If I only do this and I don't do that, well, I can get X result. Well, Not necessarily. And a lot of people where faith is concerned have made that mistake. You know, and we shared on this, you know, people can look at the scripture and say, yes, the word of God is truth. Yes, the word of God is first and final authority. Yes, First Peter says, by his stripes I'm healed. So if there's a symptom or something comes up in my body, I can just turn over here and say, yep, by his stripes I'm healed. By his stripes I'm healed, by his stripes I'm healed. That's not wrong, but it can be incomplete. Seek the wisdom of God. There is the overarching truth that yes, by his stripes you're healed. That is the truth. But how do you walk that out for you? It can be different. So we shared on this. You know, if you have a pain in your body, something comes up, you know, well, first off, what caused it to begin with? Because here's the thing, if you keep doing the exact same pattern, even if you had a miraculous healing today, if I continue in this behavior, this is just going to show up again and again and again. So only Holy Spirit can know, hey, this is what actually needs to happen. So we shared on this, you know, we talked about, you know, my father in the faith, Brother Kenneth Copeland, you know, we sat under his ministry for I worked on staff there for 10 years. And I heard him tell this story a number of times, how years ago, you know, he was having severe pain in his joints. It was felt something like arthritis. I mean, it was constant and it was painful. You know, and he was praying about it and you know, declared in Jesus' name and by his stripes and what have you, but the pain persisted. It didn't go away. So he got quiet before the Lord. He took some time to hear from him. And guess what the Lord said? Stop drinking coffee. The wisdom of God. Mm-hmm. What was causing all the pain in his joints? He was drinking way too much coffee in excess, and all these deposits were ending up in his joints causing severe pain. Again, if God was to miraculously touch him in a moment and he keeps drinking coffee, it's just going to come right back again, right? What you need is the wisdom of God in every situation. Do I have this surgery? Do I not have this surgery? Do I go here? Do I do this? How do I walk out this healing today? And again, what's the root cause behind it? A lot of times it is self-inflicted. And if we'll know what the wisdom of God is, we can change the behavior and deal with this before it ever comes up. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So again, there's always the legal side to faith. You know, I name, I claim, I believe, I receive when I pray. But then there's this other side that says, I've got to hear from God. Again, when we look at, and Lord willing, I believe we're going to do this very soon. When you go through these gospel accounts and you look at the healing ministry of Jesus, you see him healing a number of different ways. There's not just one pat answer. It's not just, well, I'm going to lay hands on you and I'm going to say some words and God's going to heal you. No, there was times it worked that way. Other times it was, hey, pick up your bed and walk. Other times it's go dip. Other times he's spitting in the mud and making clay. How did he know what to do? How did that heathen ministry work? It flowed by revelation knowledge by help of Holy Spirit. God was right there revealing to him, revealed knowledge to know what to do. So really in this sense, faith, real faith, the God kind of faith is obedience to revelation. Faith is obedience to revealed knowledge. Not just general knowledge. You can come up with that in your head just reading the Bible. But Holy Spirit, John 16:13, Jesus said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth has come, he will lead you, he will guide you unto all truth, which is the Word of God. Jesus said also in the next chapter, John 17:17, thy word is truth. So again, you can know the truth, but how are you going to walk it out today? Holy Spirit, he'll breathe on this truth to show you how to get this job done. In this sense, it kind of makes the word foolproof, right? You have to go to God to get the wisdom of God to know how to walk it out as you ought. Again, you were created for fellowship. Yes, relationship, but you're created for fellowship. You know, if we're the sons of God, then let's behave as the sons and daughters of God. Sons and daughters, check with daddy. Amen.
Amen.
Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So as sons of God, we're to be led by the Spirit. Again, how's faith going to work? Faith is obedience to revelation. I need revelation knowledge where I'm going to get revelation. Check with him. Amen. So again, there's always in the Word of God, there's the legal side to the Word, but then there's this living side. This comes through relationship. This is the relationship. This is the fellowship. Amen. This is Holy Spirit making it plain and clear to you. What do I go here? Do I go there? Do I go to this school? Do I go to that school? Do I take this job? Do I move here? You know, do we enter into the ministry, right? Do you move to Ogallala and Prana Church or do you stay home? Right? There's any number of things and only Holy Spirit knows exactly what that plan is. Paula and I knew 10 plus years ago that we were supposed to go pastor. We knew we had rural America on our hearts. Well, you know, we were living outside of Dallas-Fort Worth, somewhat rural, and there was plenty of rural opportunities where we were at. How do we know? Right? Holy Spirit. Again, you can know the overarching plan of God. You can know the overarching truth of God, but what's this specifically look like in your life? Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise God. So again, we've been looking at this over these past couple of weeks here. But again, Jesus, when we go back here in verse 11, he is right now, this is just about 3-4 days before they arrest him at the Mount of Olives and crucify him. All right. Jesus is 33 and a half years old. His entire life, he's been coming to the temple multiple times a year at a minimum. He's required to. We see this even at 13 years old. He's there in the temple. He stayed a few extra days. But when he becomes of age, every male, several times a year at those feasts, he are required. So at a minimum, he's been in this temple 100 times. You know, in the course of his life, if not many more. And yet he's seen all of this corruption. He's seen the den of thieves. He's seen all the commerce and all this going on. And he's never said anything about it. He's never done anything about it. He's there the day before and he's seen, and the Bible's letting you know, he saw all of this going on and he still said and did nothing. And yet he knows what the will of God is. This isn't right. This ought not be going on. He knew that last year. He knew that 2 years ago, right? But again, Jesus said, I only say what I hear Father say. I only do what I see Father do. That's fellowship. That's fellowship. He's in relationship. But now he's talking about fellowship with the Father. I only say, I only do. And he said, furthermore, I can only say, I can't decide on my own. I can't just make this up today. I cannot act out of assumption or presumption. Well, you know, there's a deadline. We got to go get to Lazarus because he's at the point of death. We got to get there now. What did Jesus do? He stayed a couple more days. No, Father didn't tell me to go. So I'm going to stay right here where I'm supposed to be, and I'm going to keep ministering right here for the next couple of days, and then we'll go see about Lazarus. Amen. It's too late, Jesus. Lazarus is already dead. He stinks. It's been 3 days. I am the resurrection. I am the life. Amen. And then he hears from Father. He already heard from him. And then he goes and he walks that out. It's Lazarus, come forth. Hallelujah. He's just flowing with God. He's just moving with him at all times and all things. He's got the perfect answer to every situation because in every situation, he's hearing from the Father. This is not exclusive to Jesus. This was the model. This was the example for us to follow. So when we see this passage here, Jesus in verse 22 says, have faith in God, or literally this translates, have the God kind of faith, which means, number one, this is how I've been functioning. This is how I functioned in the temple. This is how I functioned at the fig tree. And but furthermore, this is a charge to you. I'm not just telling you this is something only I can do. Stand back, watch me work. Never. And every time he's calling them out, where's your faith? Oh, you of little faith. Right? He's constantly talking to people about their faith. All right. But now we see here, have faith in God, which is not a suggestion. This is a command from the head of the church to you and I. And then he tells them, truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, be lifted up, thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that it will happen, it will be done for him. So Jesus is speaking to the fig tree. It responds. He spoke to the temple and acts on what the Father showed him. And he's letting us know again, this is how it works. Amen. So looking at this statement again in verse 22, there's two main truths to see here. Number one, Jesus operates in that God kind of faith. We see this in Hebrews 1:3. It says the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his nature, upholding all things by his powerful word. God is upholding all things by his word, which is powerful. It creates the universe. It maintains the universe. Everything is being upheld today. You and I are being upheld today because of his word. So these nine words that Jesus speaks in Mark chapter 11, may no one eat of your fruit again. May no one eat of your fruit again. This word has the exact same power as God said light be and light was. It's the same God that gave the word. It's the same God that gave the word. All of this came out of the heart and mind of God. Holy Spirit was right there in creation. Holy Spirit was right there on that day speaking through Jesus to that fig tree. The exact same wonder-working power was there. The exact same power was there at the tomb of Lazarus. The same power was there when Jesus was raised from the dead. It doesn't matter what the situation is. Any word from God can absolutely change, rearrange, create, do whatever is needed to do. The word is designed to bring itself to pass. The word is designed to uphold itself. Amen. For eternity. The truth remains. The truth remains. Thy word is truth. Again, John 17:17, thy word is truth. That truth really better translates eternal living reality. It was, it is, it forevermore will be. It can't be anything else. You and I don't get to decide. You can decide all you want to. It will never change the word. Huh. Thank you, Lord. The second part of this statement, again, Jesus is expecting you and I, the believer, to operate the exact same way. He's modeling this pattern of faith. It's here in our notes. I just want to reference back to this. In Genesis 1, we see this pattern revealed as to how faith operates. In Genesis 1:3, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Again, God, before he ever spoke a word, he occupies eternity. God, for us, we think linear in time. God occupies eternity itself. To him, time doesn't operate the same way. The way I can seem to wrap my mind around it is it's circular in one sense. There is no beginning. There is no end. For us, what we would comprehend is a billion years, Shamel, God's already there. And in the spirit, you and I in Christ are already there too. We're doing something right now a billion years from now. But to God, a billion years from now, that moment in time is the same as right now. If that kind of makes sense. God's already there. He's already seen all the way through all of it. He already knows. He already knows every tomorrow perfectly. He knows every mistake you ever have made, every mistake you're going to make. He's already been there. And he says, I've already dealt with your sin. I've already accepted you in the beloved, and I've washed away all of that mess. Amen. Now you're righteous. Amen. You are holy. You are blessed. You are loved. You are redeemed. Amen. But again, looking at this pattern, God saw what he wanted to have happen on the inside of him. He chose words to wrap around this image, and then he speaks that word out. And what he declares is what this becomes. This image is literally, he's pregnant with an image on the inside of him, and he chooses words that describe this. He speaks it out, and it becomes.
Yeah.
It existed in the spirit, but he's got to speak it out to give birth to it. All right?
Yeah.
He is wisdom. He didn't have, so again, the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you know, they're working together. All right, but God sees all of this on the inside, and he just speaks it out, light be, light was. Verse 11, then God said, let the earth bring forth vegetation, seed-bearing plants and fruit trees, each bearing fruit with seed according to its kind, and it was so. Again, God saw what he wanted to have happen in the earth, so he just starts speaking it, and it just starts becoming. God wasn't out there, you know, with his little hoe tilling the ground, you know, and Where'd the seed come from? He spoke the seed into the existence, right? At some point, this all traces back to words. Verse 24 says, and God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, land crawlers, and beasts of the earth according to their kind. And it was so. So throughout all this, God saw perfectly. He's operating in perfect wisdom. But now he's speaking this word, giving voice to his spirit, and it is becoming. This is the pattern of faith. When Jesus operated in the temple, when Jesus spoke to the fig tree, it was the exact same model. Everything you ever see in Jesus' life operated the exact same model. He heard from the Father. So again, God is wisdom. Jesus, as a man, sought the wisdom of God. Now that he's got the wisdom of God, he sees and knows what. So again, when God spoke the earth into existence, Jesus in like manner saw, this is how I need to minister to this temple today. This is how I need to handle this fig tree. This is how I need to handle Lazarus. This is how I need to handle this wind and wave and this hurricane. Peace be still. He saw what God saw. He spoke what God spoke. He got perfect results. This is not an exclusive thing to Jesus. He's telling you, this is how you're going to operate too. Have faith in God. Have the God kind of faith. Again, we saw this in times past studying about prayer. Jesus, oftentimes, if not daily, he was getting up early in the morning, so early he was up ahead of everybody else. And the Bible says he would go out into a deserted place to pray. What was he doing? This was not, oh God, what am I going to do today? these scribes, these Sadducees, these Pharisees, they're wearing me out with all these questions, and it's tough. No, that's not prayer, not necessarily. You know, Jesus was drawn out. He's having communion with the Father. Father's showing him things to come. They're just spending time just enjoying each other's presence. And there was times that we saw that Jesus prayed all night long. He spent all night long just communing with Father, not just having a business meeting. It's good to have a business meeting with God. Lord, I've got 7 different things going on, and I need to know is there something else? Is there another priority that I'm missing? You know, what how do I need to handle this? He might tell you, take all this and put it on the shelf and go take a vacation. You know, sometimes that might be the best thing. You just need to go and spend the next 3 days getting quiet, you know, because you've got too much going on the inside of you. You need to spend some time just getting clear to hear. You know, a lot of times that's the case. We get so busy, you know, and so many distractions. Our phones and TVs and all this stuff, and people are just constantly, you know, checking here, checking there, checking there, checking there, checking this, checking that. And again, these distractions can enter in, and without realizing it, you're not really spending time. You're not really hearing from Him. This is just kind of this flyby thing, you know, checking in with God, but not really hearing. Prayer is not really prayer until you've heard from Him. Prayer is a two-sided conversation. Yes, we can speak, but we need to hear from Him. And if we're not hearing clearly what to do in these situations, you cannot operate in the God kind of faith, and you will not get the God kind of results. You'll get a little something here and there, but it's nothing like what He has planned for you until you can hear from Him. When you hear from Him, you can operate in perfect faith. I can operate in perfect confidence, knowing that I'm walking out the will of God for my life today. I don't care if this is talking about making breakfast. He'll help you with any part of it. Anywhere you invite Him in, He will help you with the smallest of things. He will help you get dressed in the morning. He'll help you comb your hair. Amen. Whatever it is, He's right there to help you.
That's good.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Are we checking? Are we listening? Thank you, Lord. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. We see this again. Jesus operates in the same faith as the Father does in Genesis 1. So just to recap this first point here, the God kind of faith, number one, seeks the wisdom of God. Not just the overarching word from God concerning that by His stripes I'm healed, but it seeks the wisdom of God to know how to walk this out in my life, in my body, in this situation. And here's the thing. Let's say you do that today. You spend time, you hear from God, you've got some knee pain, and He says, go do this and that, and you go do it, and you get free from it. If this thing pops up again, don't just assume the same answer. Turn to Him every time. Every time, because it may be something different going on. You don't know. You need to hear from Him. Seek the wisdom of God. Always. You need fresh revelation. Number two, believe in the heart. Number three is to speak faith-filled words with authority, which we'll see in Mark chapter 11, verse 23. And fourth, act on the word. Act on the word. So speaking in one sense is acting. But a lot of times there's another action that'll come along with that, even if it's just simply resting. Sometimes the greatest act of faith is to do nothing. I've spoke to this mountain. I've released it. I haven't heard from the Father anything else what to do, but I'm still checking, but I've not heard anything else. So in the meantime, I'm just going to rest. I've done what He showed me to do, and if and until I hear otherwise, I'm just going to rest. If the thought comes up in my thought life, nope, I just want to thank You, Lord, that no man will ever eat fruit of this tree hereafter again. Again, we looked at this. Jesus had nothing else to say about that tree once He had spoke to it. He obviously heard from the Father, this we know. He spoke to the tree, and He walked away from it. If anyone had asked Him later on, hey, Jesus, what about that fig tree? He'd have just turned and responded, no one is ever going to eat fruit of that tree hereafter again. He had nothing else to say about the matter. This is not even touching his thought life, right? If it comes up and touches your thought life again, I just want to thank you, Lord, that no one's eating fruit of that tree. I just want to thank you, Lord, that by your stripes I'm healed. Whatever it is, what am I doing? I'm resting. I'm holding fast to my confession. I'm holding fast to what he showed me to do. And I know if I've heard from him and I've done what he said, this is working. The word's working at the root of this thing the whole time. Hey, thank you, Lord. So again, we're acting on the word by faith. Number five, we are expecting results, knowing that the word is at work. The God kind of faith, is operating the exact same way as it does for Jesus, as it does for the Father. We are the sons of God. We are the sons of God. God, in Genesis 1:26, he said, "Let us make man in our image and in our likeness." We operate exactly the way God operates. Amen. Hallelujah. As any son or daughter does, that we're supposed to mimic, we're supposed to function. We've been created to function the exact same way. And this will always be. We saw this again back in Genesis 2:19. God and Son working together. God would go to the dust of the ground. He's forming these animals. Then he brings it over to Adam to see what Adam calls it. Whatever Adam calls it, it becomes. How did Adam know what to call this thing? Holy Spirit. He just functioned. Adam functioned solely by revelation knowledge. He had no idea, I believe, even how to function by information, really, until the devil came. When the devil came and gave him information. He received information and superseded revelation with it. Up until this time, all he knew was revelation knowledge. It was effortless, just as effortless as God. Holy Spirit was in him, showing him giraffe, dinosaur, donkey, whatever it was. He was just speaking to it and calling it. And what he called it, it became, or really it gave it its identity. It defined who it was. It defined if it was a winged creature, whether it was something that crawls. His words gave it power. He was functioning exactly like God functioned. Jesus came and did the exact same thing. It's always been, it will always be. But again, how are you going to do it? The wisdom of God. I see from God, I hear from God, I know exactly what to do, and now I can expect to get the same results. So again, faith is not operating in arrogance or presumption. Well, it worked for them. They had this situation, and I know they heard from God, and God told them to do this, so I'm just going to go do that too and get their result. No, you won't. Because this is not operating in this living side. Again, Jesus did not heal people the exact same way over and over. There was many different ways. He had to hear from God in every situation. Hallelujah. So again, I can't live on somebody else's faith. I've got to have revelation for myself. So again, faith is obedience to revelation. Number two is the heart and mouth connection. In verse 23, Jesus says, "Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and has no doubt in his heart, but believes that it will happen, it will be done for him." Amen. So we see here, faith is of the heart, not the head. You don't have faith in your head. No. Faith is of the heart. You are a spirit. You have a soul made up of your mind, will, and emotions. You live in a physical body. You don't have faith in your brain. You have faith in your heart, your spirit man. Jesus said, if you'll believe it in your heart, say it out your mouth, it'll work for you. This mountain's going to get up. It's going to be thrown into the sea, never to be seen or heard of again. So faith is not emotions. Faith is not wishful thinking, because faith is not of the head. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, this passage, verse 34, 35 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever I believe in my heart will eventually come out of my mouth. Jesus said it works exactly that way. Whatever is in my heart in abundance, whether I'm thinking about it unconsciously, subconsciously, it's coming out of my mouth. And there's faith behind that. Or there's fear behind that. In either case, it will produce results. Whatever is in your heart will come out of your mouth and you will eat the fruit of it. Hallelujah. Speaking of, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Life and death. That's 180 degrees. Life, death. Blessing, curse. Both are true. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. There's no maybe about it. You will. So again, whatever's in my heart will come out of my mouth, and I'm going to be eating those words. You will literally eat your words. Life or death, bless or curse, is whatever you say is how it's going to be. In that sense, you are the prophet of your own life. You are right now today, the things that you see in your life, in your body, in your finances, in your home, in your marriage, are the culmination of all these words that you have spoken in all your yesterdays, which is a result of everything you've believed in your heart, because you've allowed these things to enter into your life, to shape the way you think, which frames the words that come out of your mouth, which produces the end result that you're living in today. You will be tomorrow the things that you're speaking out of your mouth today. So what are you letting into your eyes? What are you letting into your ears? Am I hearing and seeking the wisdom of God or the counsel of men? Amen. Selah. Your mouth is the steering wheel of your life. You'll have what you say. I want to look here just quickly here. Jesus, what he did not say. Jesus does not say you will have what God says. Now, God has said many wonderful things. There are many wonderful truths that we can read in the scripture that belong to us. Jesus didn't say you're going to have it just because it's been promised to you. Jesus didn't say you're going to walk in the light of it just because you're in Christ. This, it all belongs to you, but it's not automatic. Amen. Again, there's a legal side and a living side. Jesus did not say you will have what God says. Jesus does not say you will have what you hope. Jesus does not say you will have what you need. Well, yeah, but the scripture says that he meets all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's right. It does. He also says by his stripes you're healed. Is everybody healed? Is everybody, again, every Christian. Is every Christian healed? No. Is every Christian living in abundance? No. Why not? Why not? Have we heard from him? How do I walk out this financial situation? Not just this one, but ongoing throughout the course of my life. How do I walk in abundance? Have we asked him to teach us how to live in abundance? Have you taught me how to live in the blessing? I just ask him. Spend time hearing from him. He'll show you. He'll teach you how to live blessed. Spirit, soul, body, socially, financially, in every realm. He'll teach you how to have the most blessed and prosperous marriage. Hey, man, money can't buy that. Money can't buy that. Oh, no. How to live in perfect peace. He is the Prince of Peace. Peace lives on the inside of me. Joy lives on the inside of me. Am I living in joy? Uh-huh. Ask him. He'll teach you. Jesus said that you will have what you say. Again, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. You will have what you say. So in this, faith always will require your participation. In order for people to get healed, Jesus had to go minister healing in some way, shape, or form to them. They weren't just healed just because he walked in the room. There was something that had to take place. There was an interaction that had to happen. Amen. We saw this with the lame man, with the four crazy friends. Maybe they were relatives. I don't know. Jesus in his house teaching in Capernaum. And there's a lot of religious leaders in there, and they don't really like him too much, but they're in his house. And in his house, they are respectful. They're not going to call him out. They're not going to make a scene in his house. Out on the street, they absolutely did. But in his house, they won't do it. They go up, they can't get to Jesus, but they know if they can get to Jesus, their friend's going to get healed. So they go tear the roof off. They let him down. But the scripture says there was power present to heal everybody in that room. But only one man received healing that day. Power can be present. Amen. But we have to tap into that. We have to operate in faith in that. We see the same thing in Jesus' hometown in Nazareth. The scripture says there they did not receive him. They tried to throw him off a cliff. Blasphemous. He said, the scripture says Jesus could do no mighty works there. It didn't say he wouldn't. The scripture says he couldn't. Jesus was there. He was teaching. They were not hearing it. They were not receiving it. It required their participation on some level. Amen. We all have to participate with God. So again, legal side, living side. I have to participate in fellowship to walk out this miracle, to walk out my life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 24, believe you receive when you pray. So Jesus says here, therefore I tell you, whatever, that's a blank check, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. So now Jesus gives us this pattern to how the kingdom really operates here. He says here, whatever you ask for in prayer. So this word, whatever, is no limits. It's a blank check. Anything that God has put in his word, he has already given it to you. He's already belongs to you. Are we even asking for it? Are we believing for it? The scripture says in James, I believe chapter 4, verse 2, you have not because you ask not. So many people, for various reasons, aren't even asking. They don't think they're qualified. They don't think they're righteous, or, you know, or just, you know, they're just too caught up in self, you know. And we live in a prosperous nation. We live in a very blessed nation, and you can go out here and with some effort, yeah, you can be somewhat successful, according to your standard, according to man's standard. You can have a nice home. It's actually not very hard. It's not very hard at all to have you a nice home, a couple of cars. Doesn't take much at all to accomplish that. That's not possible in most places on the earth today, but it's very possible here in the United States of America. We are very, very blessed to live in this place and in this time.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. But again, that's according to man's standard. So there's no limits in the kingdom of God. Again, whatever God has provided in Christ is yours right now. So we have to ask. He says, whatever you ask in prayer. So this ask really means to place a faith demand on what already belongs to you in Christ. I'm not asking for something off the wall. I'm asking according to the word. So, Father, I see in 1 Peter 2:24, so I'm coming to him in prayer. I have a situation in my body, let's say, and so I present the word back to him. And so, Father, I see this going on in my knees, in whatever it might be, and I know this is not right. I'm here today to reconcile this because I see the truth. By his stripes, I was healed. Well, if I was healed, I am healed, and I ought to be living in days of healing. Amen. I am to be living in divine health, that this never should even come up in the first place. Help me. Show me how to walk this out as I ought. So again, whatever thing. So I'm asking that blank check according to scripture. This is my whatever. And now I'm asking for it. I'm placing a faith demand. Father, I know this is mine. I know this belongs to me. All right? Place a faith demand. I'm not just asking passively, well, if it be thy will, that's not prayer. That's not faith. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith will always end at the question mark. So this is not prayer as in, oh God, would you please come and heal me just now? No, again, I need to recognize I was healed in Christ Jesus by his stripes. I'm not asking you to come and heal me. You've already done that when you sent Jesus to the cross and he took stripes on his back. You've done that. Healing is a finished work. Healing is not a promise. Healing is a finished work. There are promises in Scripture, but most of what you're seeing in the New Testament for you and I today is a truth in Christ, a finished work. It already belongs to me. Lord, show me what's going on and how do I reconcile this out today? All right? So I'm making a faith demand on this truth. We see here, whatever you ask for in prayer, is you have to believe you have received it. So all of this really is the bottom line of all of this passage. The temple, the fig tree, speaking to the mountain, all of it culminates right here. Believe you have received it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says, for all the promises of God are yes in Christ. And so through him, our amen is spoken to the glory of God. Amen is so be it. What are you saying? God, I see in your word that by his stripes I was healed. Amen. So be it. He's saying this is not a future thing. This is already accomplished. I'm just simply adding my amen to it. So I'm coming to God, and what he is calling prayer is, again, I'm presenting my case according to Scripture. Father, I know this truth. I know this is mine. I know this belongs to me, and I'm here to receive it today. I know I have opened the door. Something I've done in the natural or in the spiritual has opened a door to cause this thing to come into my life and into my body. I know it's not right. Holy Spirit, breathe on this word. Show me what's going on. Was it spiritual or was it natural? If it's natural, he can give you the wisdom to stop drinking coffee or whatever it might be. If it's spiritual, I need to be speaking to a devil somewhere. I need to be doing something, right? Get out of here in Jesus' name. You know, only Holy Spirit will know what that is. Amen. So again, I'm coming to him on the basis of his word. I'm presenting my case to him, and now I'm placing a faith demand on this answer. But now once I've done that, I've heard from God, speak to this thing. So let's say, okay, we're speaking to this mountain, pain, devil behind it, in the name of Jesus, you get out of here. You be cast out into the sea. Don't you ever come back. I'm exercising now my authority in Christ on the basis of the word Holy Spirit gave me. Again, Jesus said, I only say what I hear Father say. I only do what I see Father do. If I can go to God and I can get his wisdom, I can operate exactly like Jesus operated, and I will always get the same results. Now, it may happen instantly. It may take 24 hours as it did with the fig tree. It might take a few days. It doesn't make any difference. Here's the part. Believe you receive when you pray. When I prayed, from that moment on, I don't need to go and pray about it tomorrow. I don't need to bring it up later today. If I still, I prayed, and from this moment on, thank you, Lord, I'm healed. Oh, I want to thank you, Lord, that is gone. This pain is cast out into the sea, and it's never returning here. I just want to give you thanks. I want to give you glory. As often as the thought would come up, don't entertain the ifs and the maybes and, well, I guess it didn't work this time. No, you're just unraveling faith. Again, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat the fruit of it. I'm holding fast to my confession of faith, no matter what. Thank you, Jesus. Faith takes it, and faith is always now. Faith is never in the future tense. Anything that's in the future is a hope. I'm not hoping for healing. I believe I have received healing. Again, when you pray, so there's a definite moment in time, and it's when you pray. Believe you have received it, you will have it. Jesus believed that no one was going to eat fruit of that tree hereafter again the moment he said it. You would never get him to turn loose of that confession no matter what, ever. Don't turn loose of your confession. The word was working at the root of that tree the moment he spoke it. You didn't see it on the outside till 24 hours later, but it was working the whole time. Right. It's working in the realm of the spirit. Words are working. Yeah. They are working all the time. Hallelujah. And your answer is on the way. The manifestation is on the way. Hold fast. You've heard from God. You know the truth. It can't do anything but fail. It's working for you. It's working for you. Say it's working for me. Thank you, Jesus. The moment we prayed it, yes and amen, the word's going to work. We have a couple of reinforcement scriptures here. Jeremiah 1:12 says, this is the Lord saying, for I watch over my word to accomplish it. My job is to hear from him, say what he says, do what he shows me to do. His job is to bring it to pass. The word will fight its own fight. Again, he's upholding all things. How? By the word of his power. There's this, when you've heard from God, when you've got a word from God, it's got the same creative power as light be and light was. It's no difference. It's the same God. It's his word. His word works. His word has been battle tested. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that proceeds from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper for which I have sent it. Amen. So again, his word will not return empty handed. It will bring itself to pass. God and his word are one and the same. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. You can't separate God from his word. So if I've got God's word, I speak God's word, it will not return empty. It is working all the time. It is bringing itself to pass. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He has already spoken, and he said the answer already belongs to you, and it is on the way the moment you asked for it or placed a faith demand on it in prayer. Hallelujah. So in closing here today, faith is not complicated. Faith is simply cooperation. Again, we mentioned this. Faith is really, when you break it down, faith is obedience to revelation. Holy Spirit gave me that here the other day. It's like, that just says, bless me all week. And that's the simplest way I can think to put it. Faith is obedience to revelation. Well, how did I get revelation? I sought the wisdom of God. I sought the word of God. I got the answer. And now I'm just being obedient to it. That's faith. That's faith. Obedience to revelation. Faith is agreeing with God in our heart, speaking what he says, acting on his word, even when we see nothing happening in the natural realm in the moment. Just like the fig tree, the moment you spoke in faith, something, the word is working at the root of it. Again, you may not see it in the natural, but the word's working. Have faith in God. The word is working the whole time. Reflection point. Where have you allowed time, delay, or discouragement to steal your confidence? Again, I prayed and it didn't happen 2 seconds later. Many people who learn something about faith are oftentimes defeated by time. I prayed and I was holding fast for a day and it didn't happen. Well, you start to doubt. You start to wonder. Maybe I didn't do this. Maybe I didn't do that. Maybe I'm not qualified. Maybe I wasn't so lovely over here and I did this over there. The devil's working on this. The devil's working on this to try to get you to turn loose. The devil's working to try to get you to turn loose because he heard you. He knows what's going to happen. So he knows if I can just somehow get in here, get you either distracted or present this lie to you, you know, that you will relax your faith. So many times that answer is just right around the corner and people turn loose at the last minute. Pressure's on. And a lot of time when the pressure is at its strongest, your breakthrough is most of the time right there on the other side of it. Hold fast. That's why Paul writes this over here in Hebrews chapter 10. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews chapter 10. This is so important to faith itself, to living a victory life. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Mm-hmm. You reckon that Paul was writing this because people needed to hold fast? Were they tempted to relax their faith? Yeah. Oh, yeah. They absolutely were. It's no different for you and I today. There's always occasion, no matter who you are, where you are, there will always be occasion to relax and to not hold fast. He says, well, but if you do, he who promised is faithful. The word is faithful to bring itself to pass if you will hold fast to it. Thank you, Jesus. Another point of reflection is, where have you stopped speaking what God said because you've not seen those immediate results? Again, hold fast your confession. Oh, I want to thank you that, Lord, that by your stripes I was healed. I want to thank you that as I gave those words you spoke to me to say about my knee, and I spoke them, that word was working the whole time. I want to thank you that that pain is gone. I want to thank you that I'm healed. I want to thank you that I'm whole. And just praise God. Just praise God. What am I doing? I'm holding fast. Praise is really the highest form of faith. I've heard from God. I believed I received it. I've shared this with you in times past. This goes back now, 16 years. Yeah, about 15 and a half years. I was on a Friday night. I was getting ready in the evening. All of a sudden, I had severe pain come up in one of my teeth. You know, I'm sure, you know, off and on, maybe you've had some tooth pain, and this was, doubled over, you know, want to cry. I mean, it hurt bad, right? And so what am I going to do? It's this Friday night and there's no dentist. What are we going to do? So I had just started hearing these things about faith. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to turn over here to my Bible, and here's what the word says. And so I didn't even understand all this at the time, but I remember doing what I did, and Holy Spirit helped me. So I presented my case. I know that by his stripes I'm healed. And so I spoke to this thing, to this pain to go in Jesus' name, but don't ever come back. And I just started praising God. I just was in this little bitty room at the time, and I'm just walking around. What else am I going to do? This hurts. And so I prayed. That only took about a minute or two. You know, and so I spent the next hour just walking the floor, just praising and magnifying God. I want to thank you, Lord, for my healing, and just magnifying the name of Jesus. About an hour later, pain completely went away. I mean, this was 100% throbbing to zero. And this happened just that fast. So this was in the evening time. I went on to bed that night. Hallelujah. About 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up. And it hurt just as bad as it ever did before. And, oh, it was something fierce. What am I going to do? I got up. I walked the floor for about an hour just praising God. Oh, I want to thank you for my healing. I just want to thank you, Lord. And about an hour later, it went away. And to this day, it's never come back. Hallelujah. What happened? I went to the Word of God. I did what I knew to do. Amen. And then from that moment on, just praise God. I didn't realize it at the time, but I found these scriptures later. What was I doing? I was holding fast to my confession of faith, just praising God. I want to thank you, Lord, that I'm healed by your stripes. Oh, I want to thank you that I'm pain free in Jesus' name. Jesus said in John 8:32, you will know the truth. The truth, his word is going to set you free. His word set me free that night. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So again, step three is act, which is to return the word God gave you. Speak it again, stand on it again, believe you receive it now. Amen. Just like I did with that pain in my tooth, I returned the word God gave me. I spoke it, I stood on it, and I believe I had received it when I prayed earlier that evening. Hallelujah. So let's all, this is in our notes. Let's go ahead and stand. And let's all confess this together. Father, I believe your word. I receive what you have promised. Your word is working in my life, in my body, in my family, in my future. I refuse to doubt. I refuse to back down. I have the God kind of faith. And I believe I receive right now in Jesus' name. Praise God. So the moment you speak in faith, heaven goes to work. Heaven backs every word to the hilt, even if it costs heaven everything. So speak the word, believe the word, and watch God bring his word to pass. Amen. Praise God. So with that, I want to close out today with Romans chapter 10, verse 13. The scripture says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Just the same as he took care of your healing, he took care of your finances, he took care of your eternal salvation. And it's all a part of the salvation package in Christ Jesus. Praise God. So all we have to do, he says, believe it in our heart and confess it out of our mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. So let's all pray this together. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus is your Son. I believe that Jesus came to this earth, took my place on the cross, paid that sin price for me. Jesus, I confess you now as my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart, take my life, do something wonderful with it, all for your glory. Amen. Amen. Well, just so be it. We believe according to the word of God that if you pray that prayer for the first time, you are saved. You're in the kingdom of God, and we welcome you into the family. Praise God. But in the meantime, we're going to be back here Wednesday night for a special prayer service. Next Sunday's Palm Sunday. Amen. Bring someone to church. It's going to be a wonderful time, a special service. Praise God. But in the meantime, know this, God loves you. We love you. And in him, we are living in victory.